Escape from Cubicle 17, Episode 3. Warning, the host of this podcast is allergic to ragweed. And guess what? It's that time of year again for it to play havoc with his sinuses. Hello and welcome. This is Chris Merley, your podcast host, and I had some new stuff I wanted to try out on you, but, well, as I said, ragweed season is upon us, so I'm going to keep this narration to a minimum. Instead of an interview, I have two new segments. One is a book review from Mel Tatum, and the other is a new segment from Selena Rosen. So first up is a review segment called Mel's Take.
Welcome to Mel's Take. I'm Mel Tatum, and this is my take on things. This will be my primarily a review show of novels, but maybe of short stories, maybe of folk songs, maybe of the occasional something else thrown in. But the basis will be reviewing books. And basically, my plan is to review mostly what I like, but a few things I don't like. So let me say just a word about what kinds of books you can expect to be reviewed here. Sometimes my review will focus on one book. Sometimes it will focus on a series. Sometimes it may focus on a particular type or subgenre. But I'm a very eclectic reader. I like mysteries. I like science fiction. I like fantasy. I like a horror. I like straight fiction. I like romance. And I particularly like it when more than one of these genres is combined in a very skillful way. I read for entertainment and enjoyment. I have a day job, like we all do, that requires some pretty heavy reading. I have some very dense and thick tomes. So when I go to pick up a pleasure reading book, I want a book that I can escape into, that I can enjoy, that I want to spend time with outside my real world. But at the same time, one that doesn't require me to think too hard, but doesn't require me to completely turn my brain off either. None of the Hollywood action scenes with the person on foot outrunning the explosion, in other words. Not that I don't enjoy that type of movie occasionally, but I have a hard time with that kind of book. So since this is a new review on a new podcast, I'm going to start with a new novel from a new imprint. It's not a new author, but this is her first novel. So I thought all in all, that was a pretty auspicious sign that I should pick Alexis Glenn Latner's Hurricane Moon to start off this show. Alexis Glenn Latner is known primarily to readers of Analog for her short fiction and her science fact articles. Indeed, since 1990, she's had over 24 pieces published, most of those in Analog, but two were in anthologies, and one of those anthology stories won her an award. Her first novel, Hurricane Moon, is published by Pyre, which is a new science fiction and fantasy imprint from Prometheus Books. First, a word about the physical book itself. It's a very good quality printing, nice paper, great cover art, very well done cover. It's trade paperback size, and Hurricane Moon lists for $15, although it is, of course, available at some discount websites for less than that. As a synopsis of the book opens on a future Earth. A future Earth where we have humans have colonized the moon and Mars, but our civilization is suffering from disease. Not necessarily a particular illness or epidemic, but rather a systemic disease that civilization has gone too far down the wrong road and can't be recovered. And so what they decide to do is have Foundation starts a new project to send a ship to terraform and colonize a new world and start a new civilization of humans from scratch, but one that learns from the previous mistakes and gets civilization going in the correct direction. So the book begins as the team is finalized, the ship takes off, and heads toward its initial destination, which turns out not to be workable. And so the difficult decision is made to start off for a different planet in a different solar system. But this one is far enough away that it will push them to the very limits of cryogenic suspension. And indeed, when they arrive, they not only have the challenges at Planet Green of starting a new civilization and terraforming a new world, but there has been some damage, some molecular damage to human DNA that must be repaired. The pacing of the novel, the only criticism I really have of this novel, is the pacing is a little uneven through the first initial stages until they arrive at Planet Green. Even then, however, the characters, or I should say, even in the beginning stages, the characters are very well developed. It's a very interesting premise and a very good story. So you connect with the characters in the story and you want to find out what happens. And then once they hit Planet Green, the narrative just takes off from there. And it's, in fact, I found it impossible to put down once we got to Planet Green. The book is as much about the people and the interhuman dynamics as it is about the science. It has a very good mix of both, and indeed that's what I found very attractive about it. I am one of those people that's often turned off by the hard science label because I don't want to think that hard. I'm not science trained. I didn't understand a lot of things, and I don't want to read a fiction book with a dictionary or a technical manual next to me. This is not one of those books. The science in it is integral to the plot, but it's explained very well, very clearly, and without extensive information dumps. The science is very woven into the story in a natural way and was very easy to follow. So don't be scared off by the hard science label of it. But at the same time, there's a very good human story and a romantic element to this novel that, again, if you like hard science, you should not be scared off by the romantic element. It's very interwoven into one unified whole, and that's, in fact, why I give it 4.5 out of 5 stars. It should appeal to a wide range of readers and, indeed, has been a top pick by Romantic Times. This is one of the books that I find exciting in publishing these days and one which bookstores may find difficult to shelve. We have a number of authors who have some horror thrown into it, some write mystery with a little fantasy thrown into it, and you kind of have to hunt around the bookstore to find it. So hunt around the bookstore to find Alexis Glenn Lattner's Hurricane Moon. It is definitely well worth it, and that's Mel's take.
You'll be hearing more from Mel in future episodes, and I hope you found her segment edifying. Now, a few words about this next piece. That I just received from Selena. I interviewed her for episode 1. Well, after I finished recording it, I asked if she'd like to record something for this podcast. I'd heard some of the stuff she'd recorded for other podcasts. Well, she graciously agreed. I think it's called Stretching with Selena. I guess since we talked about the CIFWA Musketeers, it would only be natural to want to say something about prepping yourself for athletic competition. As you know, you can get quite a workout fencing, and, well, it's important in any sporting activity to stretch to prevent injuries. Well, we're going to ignore the dime-sized bruises you can get from epee bout for the moment, but those are far less serious than, say, pulling a hamstring. So here it is, Stretching with Selena.
Hello, and welcome to Vetching with Selena. Now, this is Chris's show, and he might want to call this something else, but I want to call it Vetching with Selena. So first thing I'm going to vet you about is guests at conventions. Now, normally you go to a convention, and the headliners are all going to be very appealing, very nice, very intelligent people who are going to talk openly with you and just be friendly. They will treat the convention staff with respect. They will treat the fans with respect. They will treat the other writers with respect. You have the partying kind of guest who can be a lot of fun. You won't get to get into his head and find out why his work makes you feel so amazing when you read it. But you will get to get drunk with him, and he will tell you stories about the time that he got his head stuck in the toilet bowl down in Louisiana. But then we have what I like to call the blank-blank guest. Blank-blank because I don't think that Chris wants me to use that kind of language on his program. So we'll call him blank-blank. These people can be the headliners. They can be one of the minor guests on the list. But for whatever reason, they think their crap does not stink. And they come into a convention, and they expect the Concom and the fans and the other writers, in fact, to treat them like they are tiny gods. They are not humans. They are not writers. They are not anything but godlings. And you should fall at their feet and worship them. If they feel like at the convention they are not being properly worshipped, then they will get ugly. Things will get very, very ugly. Recently, I was at a small convention. that we usually frequent as the R. Doug Press, and that I usually frequent as a guest. And I love this convention. It's a good convention, and it's put on by good, solid, hardworking people that do a great job. From programming to the con suite, these people have it all together. And they always treat their guests with the utmost respect. And they always treat them right. I should know, I was the guest of honor the first year they held their convention. And the first year they held their convention, when they had no idea what they were doing, they treated me right. Well, when I was at this convention this year, their guest of honor was someone who I had never heard of. Now, that does not mean that they are not hugely famous. Obviously, they were fairly famous. They were the guest of honor. And when I checked them out, it turns out, yes, they have many books, and they are considered quite a good science fiction writer. However, this B.E.H. came into this convention, and she was a snot. I don't know. I mean, I heard things all weekend, and I had not had a run-in with her. But I went to dinner, and I took a bunch of my, you know, a bunch of people went with us. I never at a convention, I hardly ever wind up going to dinner by myself. It winds up being me and a bunch of the Yard Dog Press writers and some of the artists, and then a bunch of fans, and then just friends of ours from the convention. And, you know, there'll wind up being 10, 15 of us. Well, we went into this restaurant with the worst service on planet Earth. And we're in there and we're having a good time. We don't care that the service is slow. We're enjoying each other's company. We're bullshitting. We're just basically having a really good time. You know, at one point, though, I get up to go get some water because somebody on the other side of the table needs a drink of water. It's a booth-type table, so they can't get on, out. They need a drink of water to take a pill. Did I mention that this was the restaurant with the worst service on planet Earth? Any rate, I get up. I get over to the sink, basically, is all it is. It was a waiter's station, but all it was a sink with a counter. And I get a glass of water. And I'm walking up to the back to the table. Now realize, there are like 12 of us. There are 12 of us and we're having a good time. So yes, we are loud. But at any rate, I'm walking back to the table. And here comes the guest of honor, who has been basically just swinging her ass all over the place all weekend. Really not happy that the fans are not just crawling to worship at her feet. And she comes over to me and she says, "Excuse me, but could you people please keep it down? We can't hear ourselves talk at our table." Now I know what you're thinking, if you know me, and if you know my peeps. You're thinking, we are the loudest people on planet Earth, and it would be hard to hold a conversation. But here's the thing. We were talking at our table. We could hear each other. She was a good 25, 30 feet away from our table with her three fans. The three fans, by the way, who had been following her all weekend, one of which was the guest liaison for the convention. So the other two were her only real fans. And they were the ones who followed her all convention. She didn't talk to anyone else that I saw. So at any rate, I said, yeah, we would keep it down. Because and my other thing would have been at that point to stomp her ass in the middle of the restaurant. Because there is nothing on planet Earth that I hate quite as much as a buzzkill. To go in where a bunch of people are having a good time, and they're obviously having a good time, and they aren't actually hurting you, having a good time. To go in there and expect those people, that great big group of people, to quit doing what they are doing so that you can, what, feel important that you made them shut up? Because that's basically exactly what she wanted. Exactly what she wanted had nothing to do with whether she and her little fans could hear at their table, and everything to do with the fact that there were more people at our table, and we were obviously having a much better time, and we weren't worshiping at her feet. Now, here's the thing. I'm sure she thought when she did this, I don't know who this Selena Rosen person is. She is, therefore, she is a no one. And since she is a no one, and since then everybody at her table must be a no one, and since they are all no ones and beneath me, they should be worshiping me, or they should shut up and get out of my sight, for I am queen of the world. What she doesn't know is that, you know, I didn't know who the hell she was either. And as it turns out, I have more books published than she does. And there were 6 authors at our table, all with varying degrees of levels in this business of ours. And she insulted us all. She was rude to us all. And we all have websites. And we all have fan bases. And we all tell everything we know. And in fact, I immediately came home and wrote a bitch on my bitch page and wrote a letter to my entire fan club and wrote a letter to the Yard Dog Press Group. And why I didn't put her name on the world, you know, the World Wide Web on my bitch page, on the Yard Dog Press page, I did put her name up at the fan group, and I did put her name in at the Yard Dog Press place. Also, anybody who asked me what her name was offline, I told them. And here's the thing. If you want to email me and ask me what her name was, I will tell you. And the moral of this story is that when it comes to fandom, all are the same. And that little nobody who you're pushing around and being a smartass to and acting like you're too good to possibly share your company with them, whatever the guest's problem is, whatever their little bullcrap attitude is, everyone at a convention counts. Everyone at a convention has a voice. And every time you pissed one person off, you lose 10 people that might have bought your book. Maybe people like her will learn that. Maybe they won't. Here's what I'm really ticked off about right now. You guys are not buying nearly enough of my books to make me rich. If you made me really rich, people like this would know who I was. And then they wouldn't treat me like this. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out and buy my books. Don't want to buy my books? Buy some Yard Dog Press books. We're all over the web. We're easy to find. What's stopping you? Go to www.yarddogpress.com. Buy some Selena Rosen books. Buy some Yard Dog Press books. Make me rich so that people will quit telling me to shut up.
Oh, that was Vetching with Selena. Well, never mind. I suppose next time I'll listen to the complete segment before dropping it in. I wanted to let everyone know that I'll be attending FanCon 4 next weekend in Dallas, Texas. It's going to be September 21st through the 23rd, 2007. It's a great convention. You can go to FenCon.org, FENCON.org, to get more information about the event. If it weren't for my allergies, I would really have a lot more to say about this wonderful convention. So I hope to see you all there. Well, that's it for now. There'll be more Vetching with Selena and Mel's Take. I've got some more editing to do to get out the next episode. And so now I return you to your regularly scheduled cubicle. Because science fiction isn't just about escape. It's about seeing the world differently.